looking for a unicorn, like me. I'm just kind of going to do what I feel like doing. I don't really have any rules. You know, I'm just having fun and everything's been really great so far. And I hope that I find somebody. This is not normal life.
Hello, Internet. Welcome to the Hometown Studios, where I am I'm once again visited by my tall, bald friend, Curtis, who's back for a second episode, appropriately the Men Tell All episode. Curtis, how are you doing?
I'm good. We are coming to you live from the Abraham Lincoln Memorial Podcast
Presidential
Studios,
Studios
in Springfield, Illinois.
Yeah, surely that is what it is called. If it's not yet, it will be. So we're here. Curtis also winning goalkeeper tonight in the some Abraham Lincoln Presidential Memorial Outdoor Recreational Soccer League.
True story.
You know, just one goal shy of the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Memorial shutout. Anyway, we watched the show tonight, and we are men, and we're going to tell all about other men telling all, and that's what we're going to do. So here's what happened. So we show up in this studio, and for the first 10 minutes, basically nothing happens. They fill the studio full of the last 50 people on Earth who still think that this is all really happening. Mm-hmm. they cheer really loud, like they buy the bit, right? And Chad is mysteriously missing, you know? It's very, very clever staging.
Well, we do know where he is because we saw him in his own trailer with a security guard outside.
He's the star.
It is the Chad show.
Yeah. So we'll get there. So here's what happens. We go through this lineup of guys. All these jabronis are just lined up on stage, two rows, as per usual. And it's like a minute before any of these guys are recognizable.
What do you think the over-under is on like 3.5 guys they brought in just who weren't actually on the show? Nobody's going to notice that this dude isn't actually the guy that was on the show.
Brandon the hipster?
Right.
Brendan the hipster? Mm-hmm. He wasn't even on the show. They just went to Starbucks and like, we need a hipster. And some guy was like, I guess.
I can do that.
That's it.
I can look high for about 2 hours.
It looks high.
I could be high.
Yeah. So that happens. Jonathan is there wearing the kilt. Jonathan, of course, the least likely person to be Irish. Turns out he is Irish.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. All of these guys are forgettable, which is a problem that we'll address, right? And then they give us a recap of the show, which is, of course, just the Chad highlights.
You could almost hear, like, as they're discussing events throughout the show, you can almost hear the producers yelling from the side, like, hey, bring it back to Chad. We haven't talked about Chad in about 30 seconds.
Somebody turn on the Chad sign.
Bring it back.
It was really Chad focused. We got to go there. Let's start with this. So the first thing, they show us this like secret background security footage. Chad is like shaking the cages in this trailer that he's in. And he comes out, and he's wearing a muzzle, and a hood, and handcuffs, and a prison jumper. And the security guard has to bring him in with a taser at his neck. And Chad comes out.
Kind of like Steve Buscemi in Con Air.
Yeah,
like,
he's just like that.
In the straight jacket, everything.
So Chad comes out, and then they really hit it, pay it off with another series of Chad highlights. What the hell is going on? Stuff happened this season that wasn't Chad, right?
No, it didn't. According to this show and about the first 4 weeks, I think in this show alone they showed every single minute that Chad was on screen in highlights.
I think you're right. They're really hitting it hard, and I guess I get it. Like, he's gonna be on Bachelor in Paradise. But, like, come on. I mean, were these other guys so bad that we had to just it was all Chad, as long as Chad was on the show. Was everyone so bad? Is that what happened?
I mean, yes, unfortunately. I mean, if you think about it, after Chad left, the only compelling thing that happened in the show is what's the deal with Jordan and his family. So we went like three straight weeks of just not a whole lot going on and no real drama in the show.
What? D-R-A-M-A. Drama. Right there.
Oh, excellent drama. I think here's what happened. Here's exactly what happened with this season's casting. They fucked up. There were four guys this year. There was Chad, and that was like the first four episodes. And then there was Wells, James Taylor, and Jordan. Nobody else matters. And you know, we realized this. I'd also like to pause now and give a award that I like to call the Who the F*** Are You Award to Nick, I believe, B. The guy who was on the show tonight, on Men Tell All, more than the actual show. And he just let him serve as a reminder. Everyone was so forgettable. What the hell are they doing there?
He made a point to jump in and be like, hey, I'm here. This is me. Remember me? I'm Nick. I was the guy in the Santa Claus suit.
That's what happened. He was useless. And he was like, I'm going to the Men Tell All. I'm going to make him fight right there. I'm going to challenge him to a fight right there. Knowing very well that would never happen.
Nick is really towards the bottom of guys that I think should be challenging Chad to a fight.
I think you're right.
I mean,
who is at the top of that list?
At the top of that list?
Evan, probably.
Evan. I want to see Chad fight, Evan is definitely at the top of that list. Otherwise, I don't know. Grant?
I think Grant is...
Alex?
I think Grant is probably the right answer.
Yeah.
Because Grant might be able to beat it. I don't know who could actually defeat Chad if it came down to it. But Grant, I think, has a shot.
Who's the guy? One of the Jameses or Dans or whatever, I don't know, was a boxing trainer. So maybe him?
Yeah, I don't know. I think one of the Jameses kind of does that.
Yeah.
But, you know, Mickey was a boxing trainer too. And, you know, he couldn't have done anything.
Yeah. He got pushed into a railing and died. Like,
yeah.
Spoiler alert. If you haven't seen Rocky 3 yet.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Rocky 3 yet, you don't. Right. It's 2-4.
Just watch 4.
It's a street fight. Like, yeah. Whatever. So anyway, this is the crux of the Chad problem is this. There are two questions. Number one, where did all of these guys go? And number two, how much of this is an act? How much of the Chad thing? Because everyone can probably realize that the real Chad is somewhere in between, like, the normal average guy in the house and this monster he is on TV. What is the real Chad like?
Chad's a terrible person when he wants to be, obviously. But on the other side, there are times when he is kind of goofy and kind of funny, like that milk exchange with Alex that was hysterical. Milk is delicious.
I wrote that down because I was like, how did I not remember Chad saying this? It's super memorable.
Yes. But like he just there's stuff that he says that he's clearly like poking at people, and then when he's tired of it, he's just like, all right, I'm just gonna be ridiculous now. Be goofy and just say completely ridiculous things.
Chad says two things. He says really mean sh** directly at certain people, and he says deflections. Yep. And that's all he ever says.
Yeah.
The milk thing is just it's a deflection out of nowhere. It's random, and it's, I don't know. That's what Chad does.
I would almost go as far as saying Chad's like a genius and is just like playing this all out in his head and just is like, okay, I'm bored with that, so now I'm going to make fun of him. Or, I'm bored of that, and I'm just going to make this random weird comment. But no, Chad is not a genius. He's quite dumb.
Do you think the Bachelor producers set him up with the other guy's ex-girlfriends?
Easily.
How would he get in touch with them?
Like, what, Grant lives in San Francisco, so you have to assume his ex-girlfriend lives in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And Chad's from Tulsa. Like, that doesn't just happen. Like, that definitely was just a, oh, yeah.
Are they that bad of people?
Yes. They put together this show, so clearly they're awful, awful people.
Yeah, of course you're right. Is there anything else about Chad? Do you have any like, closing thoughts? Anything that we didn't get to?
Obviously I only had that one time on the show, and Chad was gone by that point. But there are times that he has good points about the show in general, that you just have 25 guys coming at this girl with, oh my God, you're the most beautiful girl yeah. I've ever seen. You're the smartest girl I've ever met. You are so nice. You're so funny. And it's like, you've known this girl for literally 20 minutes. Like, you can't be so over the top of this girl that you've never, ever met before. And Chad continued to hammer that home. And then another thing was, granted, this was a lot, probably had a lot to do with the editing of the show, but he talks about how all the guys were coming after him constantly. And if you had watched the first 4 weeks of the show, you would think, yeah, that's definitely a possibility, because literally all they're talking about on the show is Chad. So I don't agree with the whole,
yeah, but
guys, oh, if they come at me, what am I supposed to do? Punch them. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
That part's a little far, but other than that, eh.
I mean, guys always, maybe not always, guys, groups of guys especially, give you the benefit of the doubt until you don't deserve it anymore.
That's true.
And, you know, they wouldn't all be coming after you unless you deserved it.
You just weren't a huge douche.
I tend to think that's the way that it works.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that's, I don't know. Chad, for what he is, I hate to say this, but I'd watch Chad. He got what he wanted. He's going to be on Bachelor in Paradise. He gets a second season. Somebody is really into him. I remember from the previews. I don't remember who it was because I was so distracted by the horrible Jubilee Evan pairing.
Oh, God.
And the equally bad Kayla Jarrett thing.
Oh, God.
That show, you know, again, I'll watch it. I'm not going to do the show about it. If you want to watch it, go ahead, but you're wasting your time. Chad's going to be there.
I do have a request that you do a specific podcast for when Evan and Jubilee hook up. I just want to hear Taylor's
special. Taylor
will lose her shit.
I'm
here for it.
I sent Taylor a text to prepare her for the moment that she watches the promo and sees that happening. I'm pretty sure she sent me back the Game of Thrones gif with a kid jumping out the window. Spoiler alert, there's a kid who jumps out the window right. In Game of Thrones. All right, let's go to Luke. So Chad takes up the first hour or so of the show. He gets three acts of the show nonstop, which is what they want, of course. And then Luke comes on for one act. And there's a huge applause. All these women love Luke, you know. He's this guy now. He's like, imagine if a cowboy from a small town in Texas was in a romantic comedy, and he ended up moving to the big city to write songs with just a banjo and a knee, and some girl who works in a marketing firm just had the chance. You know, maybe she started promoting him in a club, and she just turns out she had a chance to turn him into the big city man of her dreams. That's what Luke is.
Yeah. Just Luke is a whole bunch of, like we've said it this entire season, just smoldering and talking real low like this. And that's Luke being sensitive, is just voice inflection equals sensitivity.
Luke certainly has a problem with speaking, which is not unique to him.
You could definitely take Luke's name out of that.
make it anybody.
And make it just about anybody, and you would have a true sentence still.
Yeah. I think Luke came into this whole thing just deflecting everything to how perfectly set up he is to be the Bachelor now. And that was, I think, Chris Harrison just ate it up, obviously.
Chris Harrison was serving him softball questions. Big time. Of, hey, he should have just come out and said, hey, do you want to be the next Bachelor? Because here, have this. And did you learn how to love
For everyone who can't see, Curtis is throwing underhand softballs.
Which I will be doing tomorrow night in my softball game.
I'll be there.
Throwing pitches.
That's what he's miming. This is radio, of course, so I will interpret what Curtis is acting.
But this segment essentially turned into Luke's Bachelor tryout.
It was all Bachelor prep. It was like, well, Luke, you looked heartbroken on the show. How are you now? And Luke was like, I just want to thank JoJo for the chance, you know, for giving me a chance to be on the show. I think she did a great job, and I'm over it now, ready to find new love. And you know what? If I had a chance to do it again, I would tell her that I loved her
a little bit early. Straight up asked, have you moved on?
Are you ready?
Are you ready to love again?
It was pretty obvious. And all these single women in the crowd are just like, oh my God! He's really ready! This is so real! And I'm waving my arms around like an inflatable car salesman.
Wacky inflatable wagging on two man or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I am. That's how they look. I love it when they zoom in on like somebody's face in the audience, and it's always a woman. And she's listening so intently. Like this isn't scripted. Or like these people are bearing their real feelings. I just love that. It gives me hope. I don't know why.
Does it give you hope?
Think about how dumb.
How does it give you hope?
Think about how dumb the average person is. right? Anyway, that's what happened with Luke. The whole thing was a setup. It was a tryout. And like he said what he had to say. The producers are not dumb enough to think that all of a sudden he is going to be more verbal. You know, the gamble is just going to be, will the audience deal with smoldering for 12 episodes? Obviously the answer is no, because we're going to end up hating him if they pick him.
Yeah. They would have to really bank on the personalities of the contestants coming through and based off of previous seasons and this season, not many personalities come through on this show. So because they don't have great personalities.
Usually the men are easier to make fun of because they straight up don't try to get along. Like they will, if somebody rubs them the wrong way, they'll start a conflict, whatever. Usually that happens. All these jabronis are just so forgettable. It just doesn't, none of them even did anything. It's hard to hate them or love them or just remember their name.
Yeah.
They're terrible. Quick question about Luke. If he is the next Bachelor, this is also sort of a logic if-then type thing.
Mm-hmm.
If Luke is the next Bachelor, then we will hate him by the end of the season. Why? For example, JoJo is the Bachelorette. We hate her at the end of the season because she focused on exactly the wrong things in a potential mate, namely vulnerability, which Taylor said an awful lot about last night or on yesterday's episode. What will we hate about Luke this time at the end of his season?
I honestly don't think that we would hate Luke simply because he's so neutral. There's no conflict with him. There's nothing controversial about him. He's just so neutral. Like, when we were watching this and they had the whole Chag segment at the very beginning of the show, I was like, you know, I don't remember Luke being a part of that at all.
I don't either.
Or with the whole, you know, when Derek pulled those four guys aside with the whole clique, it was the final four, except you swap
Alex
with Luke.
Yeah.
So I think Luke was just so neutral that I don't think you can even have a strong feeling about him. I kind of had the feeling that if Luke had won, he and JoJo would have stayed together simply because neither one cared enough. Like, I couldn't see either one being like, you know what?
This is just not working for me. Whatever. Yeah. Here's my prediction with what happens if Luke is the next Bachelor. I will hate him, but here's why. His strategy, his technique, the smolder, trademark Luke, whatever his last name, 2016. That smolder is an offensive strategy. It's a way to stand out from all the other guys, you know, proactively. When you look at the lineup of the guys in the bachelor house or in the bar or wherever it is that you go to choose guys, and you got this guy smoldering at you, you're gonna be like, that one.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, when you're the bachelor, you need no offense.
No.
You don't need that. His one technique is gone. The only thing that matters is turning your feelings into words, which is, you know, he's not as bad as Chase, but he's pretty close.
Right.
And I think, I mean, we're going to get really tired of that.
You're
going
to get a lot of, like, dead air where it's just, like, they're going to have to do some serious editing because it's going to be a whole lot of Luke just standing there and, like, smoldering while the contestants are just like, so,
tell me about your family.
You have horses, right? Yeah, I have some horses.
Yeah. And then they're going to show him close up, cut to close up. We had a date. It was a date, and that's it. That's gonna be the smolder, and everyone's gonna lean in, and you're gonna hear him.
Sign me up for 8 weeks or 15 weeks or however long it is of that.
This is a more fun game. I should have been predicting how and why I'm going to hate these people a long time ago. I would have never guessed JoJo. And you know what? You just surprise yourself with how much you can hate these people.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about Luke. You have anything else?
No, that's about it.
Let's move right on to Chase. Chase is... You know what? Taylor, I listened to her show, and you know, I've talked to her in person, obviously. We're engaged.
Weird.
We speak to each other.
It's weird.
Yeah, we have a strange relationship based on words. Anyway, she and some other people I've talked to seem to think that Chase is, like, improving his stock recently, which I don't understand at all.
In terms of bachelor stock?
In terms of overall attractability.
Oh, okay.
In terms of, like, being worth watching on television.
I don't really see that.
I'm glad you
said that. Yes. I was going to say he got more interesting, but no, I really don't think he did.
I don't think he did either. I think Chase is the jabroniest jabroni of a field of jabronis that is just irredeemable. He has no emotion on his face. You know, he's not even really attractive, and his vocabulary is as bad as his tattoo.
When we were watching the show last night, we figured out that he can't say more than 5 or 6 words in a string. Like, he has to
take a pause.
It comes
out in bursts.
He has to take a pause after about 5 or 6 words and then continue. So even like in the middle of a sentence, he'll just be like, well, today we went to the beach and like, well, come on, bring it along.
I'm waiting.
Along, Chase.
Luke is over here smoldering in the corner like, talk faster. That's it. You know? Chase is a problem. You can't put Chase on TV.
He constantly has the look on his face that he's trying to figure things out. Like, it's just moving so slow in his head. Like, you know, in cartoons where, like, they'll do, like, an inside shot of somebody's brain, and it's like a mouse on a wheel, like moving around real quick. Like, the inside of Chase's head would be like a turtle on that mouse wheel. Just
I'm thinking kind of like the generic picture you see of a pulse in a hospital.
Sure.
Where you see these spikes of verbal activity and then long periods of nothing. The way that Chase talks, the like word burst thing, he mixes it really carefully crafted with a new way of speaking, which is to start sentences over and over again without ending the previous ones. So let's say Chase were the bachelor. And it was the first night, and all these women were getting out of the limos. Here's how he would describe that. He'd be like, and I'm just standing there in a suit, and these women start coming out of the limo. I like women. I like limos. You know, something like that. I've got a rose. This girl has a rose. She has a name. Don't remember it. I like limos. Something like that. And it would be really interesting if The Bachelor, instead of having him do on-camera, you know, close-up testimonial shots, just used his voice as a voiceover and changed what we were looking at every time he changed train of thought. It'd be like a two-hour-long, like, montage of like, pieces of things. I think it'd be genius.
That's high art right there.
It's high art. And nobody would be watching the show after the first episode because everyone would die.
Very true.
Like your eyes would just peel open and your brain would start melting out of your ears. That's the Chase experience. I have almost nothing else to say about him. I think his inability to talk just guaranteed disqualifies him from being The Bachelor. And they didn't even try. Like Chris Harrison obviously set up Luke several times. Didn't do the same thing with Chase, right?
Not tonight. I thought last night's show was more of Chase's tryout for to be the next Bachelor.
That's true.
Like he, you know, he talked about how, you know, he opened up his heart to JoJo and she just crushed it. And, you know, how is he supposed to ever trust somebody again? To open up like that. And then when he came back and did the whole, you know, I'm disappointed that I'm not going to be with you, but I just want you to be happy. And I want everything to work out well for you. Like that was a total, he's such a nice guy and he's lovable and he cares.
He did the whole, I'm a big victim to I'm like the bigger man swing, you know, and they set that up. But you never know. I mean, I feel like somewhere in between there and Shooting Men Tell All, they changed course back to Luke. I still hope it's Ben Z, obviously, but they changed. I have nothing else to say about Chase. Chase has nothing else to say about Chase. He has nothing to say in general. He is so... Not quiet. Quiet's not the right word. Incapable of producing words is what I'm looking for, I think.
Dumb. You can just take that down as dumb.
He is dumb. All these jabronis are dumb. Except Wells, obviously. Yeah. Wells read Lord of the Flies, throws it in there.
Yeah.
Literary moment. And I was like, this is, of course. Like that's something I would say.
How many people on stage and in the crowd do you think got that reference? Like after, before he... explained it further.
Zero. Here's, you know what, it's a good thing that we're talking about Chase right now, because Chase, when he sat on the couch, the very first thing he said, or like one of the first sentences out of his mouth was, I'm pretty good at reading people. it was like the best timed, because he goes, I'm pretty good at reading, and immediately I got this Luke cockeyed, like, no way.
No, you're not.
I don't think you know what you're talking about. And then he goes, people, and I'm like, oh, that's what you meant.
That still doesn't make any sense.
No, I don't think he can read anything. I just thought that was funny. Could you imagine a whole season of that, though, with him as The Bachelor? Just, you know, half saying sentences and waiting to see how they end? Maybe.
They would have to double the length of the season or double the editing budget to just make his sentences be complete sentences and have his conversations not last 45 minutes because he's pausing every 10 seconds.
They've just got to invest in another person to write the cue cards. Like, just instead of having one, you need like three or four maybe. And just keep moving him down the line.
Right.
You know, he's pretty good at reading people.
comma people.
Oh, see how I did that one? Yeah. I'm just going to change the punctuation from an ellipsis to a comma, and it kind of changed the sentence a little bit. Let's go to JoJo. So then JoJo comes out. And, you know, the first thing you notice is that, man, is she skinny, but her boobs are still there.
That's what happens when you have fake boobs.
Yeah, they stay the same size no matter what, right?
Kind of like girls in high school.
Yeah.
You get older, they stay the same age.
It's exactly like that.
With fake boobs, I wouldn't think.
I mean, some girls in high school have fake boobs. And the thing is, you get older, they stay the same age, and their boobs stay the same size. It's kind of a double whammy.
If there are any police listening to this, don't think that we are attracted to girls in high school because of that last exchange.
No. So. We're two 30-year-old men sitting around in an apartment at 11 o'clock talking about The Bachelor into a computer.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, into a gigantic microphone with a team of support staff walking around us. You know, fulfilling our every wish and need. Oh, yeah, rattling notes. You know, we are researchers running this information.
Yep.
That's what we are. But definitely not threats to teenage girls. So JoJo comes out, and the crowd boos, or maybe they're saying boobs. I don't know.
I didn't hear any boos, surprisingly. I thought there should be some, considering she's been pretty terrible the last two episodes.
She hasn't, but you know, they always like the people because that's what they're paid to do. Or not paid to do. They're there for free.
Right.
But that's what they are given beverages to do.
Right.
So she comes out, has an absolutely useless conversation with Luke and Chase, where they're like, Luke, do you have anything to say? You know, just thank you, and I'm ready to move on. Chase, you have anything to say? Just, you know, just thank you, and I'm ready to move on. By the way,
with that sentence or with JoJo and your relationship?
I wish if Taylor and I had done the episode, Monday night's episode, together, I would have diagrammed. He said one particular sentence that started six or seven times without stopping. And I wanted to diagram it so bad. And just just illustrate to the universe exactly what I'm talking about. I don't need to, I know, but that would have been a good amount of fun for me. So JoJo comes out. None of this stuff matters. Chase apologizes two words at a time. And at this point, she kind of goes around, like, Wells gets something, James Taylor says something, I think maybe Grant says something. All these jabronis are just reading off exactly the same cards. They're very clearly practiced. And they're all saying, like, thank you, you're so wonderful, and that's it. They're not even asking her anything. They have nothing to say, nothing to accuse her of, or the other guys. I guess they all think they maybe have a shot at being the next guy, maybe.
Yeah, something like that. Like, I mean, the one that stood out for me is James Taylor. I know you guys love him, but his aw shucks act
got you don't buy kinda, it?
Got not that I didn't buy it. It just got old for me. It was just like, okay, we get it. Like, you're not like any of these other guys, and
she doesn't even go here.
Oh, JoJo, you were. Like, I don't believe I can't believe that I'm here, and then I got a shot with you, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, we get it, James. And then he continued that tonight, and I was just like, James, you're out. Like, you don't have to keep doing it. You're done. Like,
but I think he thinks he has a chance. I think some of these guys think they have a chance. Unless you get couch time, you don't have a chance, first of all.
Yeah, I think, yes, James has an outside shot, I suppose. Just judging by crowd reaction tonight, he is one of the fan favorites.
Everyone loves a non-traditional guy.
Yeah.
And that's what he is. And that's what Wells is. And Wells was wonderful tonight, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
James Taylor was exactly what you expected. He didn't say much, but what he said was nice.
Yeah.
I mean, not really intelligent, but nice.
Yeah.
I'm proud of him. He didn't get fat in the off season.
Yeah,
which I thought could have happened.
Still look good. Still look good.
I think there's a decent possibility that all of these guys in between getting done with the show and going to the men tell all watched the season and sort of fell a little bit out of love with JoJo. Where they're like, you know what? Maybe she wasn't great.
Right.
I think there's a decent chance that happened. And they were all like, I don't want to pick a fight with her because I don't really care anymore.
Yeah.
We just had a bad season. We had a bad Bachelorette. And we had a horrible group of jabrones who just didn't make it interesting. And the ones who did make it interesting, she didn't even know what to do with them.
Yeah. Very true.
Or maybe they figured, maybe, you know what, here's me thinking.
There we go.
You know, zoom into my hamster wheel going right now, right? Or maybe they figured it out before we figured it out, and just their way of avoiding the train wreck was to just remove themselves from the show. But that's not true, because they all still want to be on TV.
Most everybody was making an effort. I talked to you earlier about how I thought that Wells kind of was coasting after a while, just because I think he may have realized, like, I'm a little too smart for this.
He made it far enough to be on Bachelor in Paradise.
Right.
You know, he's going to have a shot with Kayla. So yeah, take that. Obviously take that. I don't know. Maybe I'm giving these guys too much credit for planning.
Probably. Most of them, yes.
That's probably true. I mean, that was about it for the whole show. Did anything else happen? Like, the bloopers kind of suck? Everything about this, the whole season sucked.
I kind of, like, JoJo's section kind of was...
Nothing happened.
Yeah. Like
she said something aggressive to Chad, which was accurate, and, like, that one snippet was okay, and then everything else was bad.
Right. And it makes sense that you're not supposed to go after the star of the show. I'm talking about JoJo here, not Chad. But
this could be debated, but yeah, you're right. Go ahead.
Like that no one called out the hypocrisy of her between how she treated Luke and how she treated Chase, and to some extent Alex in those last couple episodes, where Chase completely opens up and tells her how he feels about her
as much eventually. As he can. Yeah.
And she's like, well, that's very nice of you.
See ya.
And then Luke doesn't do that and kind of withholds, still alludes to it, but doesn't flat out say it until it's supposedly too late. And she also lets him go. And like I said, I can see how they don't want anybody to go after JoJo and, you know, confront her about anything. But, like, that's what I kind of was waiting for was her actual...
It usually happens.
Her actual explanations for why Luke went from potentially the front runner to out in just like that.
Oh, man.
And... how
Luke McGinnon, big time. You're like, well, how did that happen?
Yeah. Couldn't believe it.
They should have, you know what I would have liked to see in this show? No Chad at all. I just want to see Luke sitting there with JoJo, and that's it. Maybe Wells would write commentary. And then they play the scene where she makes him go home, and then she has to talk to him about it for 2 hours.
Side note, you bring up a good point, something I noticed.
This is my job, bringing up good points.
Wells is coming for Chris Harrison's job.
Oh,
he's coming
great.
For it. He was moderator. He was the peacekeeper. He was running that show.
He's the only one who can talk.
And Chris Harrison was just like, hey, here's a clip. Like, Wells, if Bachelor in Paradise doesn't work out for him.
It won't. Don't worry. It's not going to.
He's the next Chris Harrison.
You know what?
Bold prediction.
That is a very bold prediction. Regardless of what happens with Wells in Bachelor in Paradise, I might try to listen to his show sometime, which I'm sure is exactly what he was going after.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised listen to it. Like, I'm sure the producers would have figured this out, but it was like a get wells on, you know, nobody votes to get people on The Bachelorette, right. But just like
the audience
wells,
swings.
Yeah, yeah, support wells.
I think you're probably right. I guess if you have any more bold predictions in you, let's move to the official formal bold predictions platform of the show. I mean, there is one obvious prediction to be made about who wins or who loses or whatever. That or just anything else. Do you have any more besides the Wells Chris Harrison thing?
Well, kind of going back to the whole JoJo thing, when Chris Harrison asked her, "Are you happy?" she had a very odd reaction to it.
Say more about that.
Like, I don't understand. Like, again, this is my first time watching, so I don't know if they're so coached that they can't give too much away with any of their answers.
They definitely should. They're not supposed to give away who wins, at least.
But her answer was just kind of like a, yeah, I'm really happy. I'm really, really happy. Which leads me to believe that, bold prediction here, she doesn't pick either of them.
I was really struggling with thinking about who she would pick. Because there are three options, and they all seem like they would make her cry, which is the only thing we know that she does. You know, and that's a problem. If I'm Vegas, I'm still putting the money on Jordan.
Yeah.
Because, you know, because that's what The Bachelor is now. You decide who's winning the first night, and then we watch all the other guys watch that guy win. You know, it happened last year. It happened with Ben and Lauren. Like, the winners are getting picked earlier and earlier every season. And it would just seem like the smart money is on Jordan. And Chad said something like, you know, Robbie broke up with his girlfriend like 4 days before the show.
Right.
And so she must... I think the only way that she would actually have found that out is if she picked Robbie. And then he told her in secret or something, in their confidence after that.
Yeah.
I don't think he would have said that if she picked Jordan. So I'm left with only two options. She picks Robbie or she picks nobody. And since you said she's going to pick nobody, I will say she picks Robbie. And... none of this makes any sense.
I have another thought.
Whoa. A bonus bold prediction.
I have two bold predictions.
Whoa.
Left, and
they're I know it's your first time, but restrain yourself.
Out, I'm out. They're conflicting. And the first one is like super bold, like tinfoil hat conspiracy theory.
Oh, please.
I think Luke comes back.
And wins?
Yes. Because at the very, very end of the preview for next episode, JoJo, of course, is crying and says something to the effect of, I still think about him every day, or, you know, I still think I made a mistake, blah, 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 blah.
Well, that's true.
I don't think out of the question that Luke comes back. Because, like we said, he went from probably winning to out in two seconds over him not saying, I love you. And then he does say, I love you. And she still keeps him out.
Wow, what a bold prediction. I wish I could go back and watch Luke's interview again. Because they got along so well. They got along so well. He was like, listen, I just wanted to say thank you. And, like, I'm ready to, like, oh, my God.
And they have to keep up appearances because there's still an episode left. Now.
And the Bachelor franchise is invested in promoting the winners so that you still think that they actually fall in love.
Right.
What if that happened? Oh, that'd be a great.
Could be.
That's a strong, bold prediction, Curtis.
I think it's way, way out there, but.
It's bold. Know, the point really is to be bold.
True.
Wow. Okay. What's the next one? And this is going to be disappointingly weak.
Other one is that Luke is the next Bachelor.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I think of the men from this season, Luke is probably the only one that it could be. I think Wells and James Taylor are in front of Chase. I think everyone is in front of Chase. I think Santa Nick B is in front of Chase.
They just do an entire season as Santa.
They do an entire season of women walking out of the limo, and Nick B is just taking off his suit jacket and offering to fight them instantly. I think it'd be funny. Yeah. And then he finally picks one, and Chad comes out of nowhere and just punches him. And, like, that's the end of the season.
Yeah, and Nick is out of this of his own season in, like, 3 weeks, just like he was with this one.
Yeah. I don't 3 weeks might even be generous to how long he stayed in this one. That's great. I mean, I think the good money – the Vegas money would be on Luke for the next Bachelor. And this time I'd tend to agree. If I were picking somebody, I'd still pick Benzie. I'd pick Leslie Murphy if I could. No, I'd still pick Benzie, but you got to think the producers are leaning towards Luke. After tonight, it's just something is going to happen with Luke.
Can you do a quick, like, 4-person power rankings for next Bachelor.
The next Bachelor? Personal power rankings or what I think is actually going to happen? It doesn't... Personal.
How do you do it? Yeah, you always do your...
It's always personal. All right. Number 4 is James Taylor. Number 3 is Luke. Number 2 is Wells. And number 1 is Benzie.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
And obviously, if Leslie Murphy could be an option, she would trump everyone.
Yeah.
She'd be option 0 where she could, like, they would just end the show with that.
Right.
The show would be Leslie Murphy, and then she picks somebody. Ideally me. And then now the show is just no longer about anybody dating or giving roses or any of that.
Yeah.
It's just about Leslie Murphy and what she does day to day. That's my power option. The boldest of bold power options.
The Todd McCulloch of options.
Oh, man. Yeah, the nuclear option, if possible. So that's the show. We have one more show left this season, the grand finale next Monday. I guess as sort of a tradition, I will be flying across the country to make it in time to get on the show. But, yeah, we're coming back. Me and Taylor, Tuesday morning, like always. And no Bachelor in Paradise, but whatever. Nobody needs that trash. I mean, watch it, I guess, but we're not going to talk about it.
I may have to.
Yeah, maybe. Curtis, thanks again for coming on the show. Thanks again for coming into the studios in Springfield tonight. I enjoy it. I appreciate you providing value to the show, particularly that boldest of bold predictions, which is mind-blowingly bold. It's great.
I'm here for the hot
take. Oh, super hot take. The hottest take. Thanks a lot for coming on the show again, and that's it. Well, we'll see all of you again next Tuesday morning.
Bye, guys.
I'm actually feeling feelings. I'm really excited. Let me just tell you, it was the most terrifying thing I've ever done. Totally excited and overwhelmed. I feel like this could happen right now. I'm really excited. That was the worst feeling. It was amazing. I will never find another lover sweeter than you.